And the 53rd verse. Let's see, I ought to put a mark or something in here because we're going to be moving back and forth through the scriptures. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the inner court, and the high priest of the high priest. And he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." But neither did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which of these witnesses witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest answered him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What need have we of any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and say unto him, "Prophesy." And the guards did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the court, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I by what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crowed. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said unto Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth to this." And he began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." When he thought on this, he wept. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things that they witness against thee." Yet Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, who lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest stirred up the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus. when he had scourged him to be crucified. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's look to the Lord for just a few moments. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of being gathered with thy dear people, particularly gathered around the word and our Lord, for where two or three are gathered together in his name, we know that he is there. He's in our midst. And Father, we're asked not so much what the speaker says, but what the Word of God says, that the Spirit of God would have his way in the hearts of both speaker and hearer alike. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Well, there's some other places that would give us maybe a little idea of what was taking place here. We find here in 53, and they led Jesus away. He had all but ready been taken to the high priest. If we were to look back at verse 43, and immediately while he yet spoke, cometh Judas, one of the 12 under him, a great multitude with swords and clubs, and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, roughly a crowd of about 600 or possibly more. They came to take Jesus. Now, we find in other places the Lord mentions that he was in the temple with them many times, and they didn't come to him. They could have taken him at any time they wanted, but they were fearful of the people. This was being done at night, of course. I'd like to look at John, the 18th verse. John 18, beginning with the third verse. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. If you notice in your Bibles that he is in italics, it wasn't there. And I am is God's name. If you remember when Moses asked, Whom shall he say, tell the Hebrews in Egypt, sent me, I am that I am. Said. And the Lord said, I am. And what happens? And Judas also betrayed them and stood with him. And as soon then as he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. They couldn't lay a hand on him. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. Therefore, ye seek me. Let these go their way. That's an order. That shows the majesty of our Lord there. He was in charge of the whole thing and they didn't realize it. Let them go their way. So evidently they had come to take the disciples as well as the Lord himself. I'd like to look at the portion there. Well, the Lord says where he had lost none of his followers. I've got so many marks here, I can't. Is it verse 9? Oh, yeah, at the bottom part of it. Of them whom thou gavest me have I lost none. That was prophesied. So it was full with the Lord. Everything is fulfilled right to the nth degree. And then in John 10, beginning with verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Our brother made mention of this in his prayer this morning, the fold and the flock. The Jews are in the fold, but all the Christians are in the flock. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, or one flock, rather. and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Then over in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them unto me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. For those of us that know Christ as Savior, we're in the Father's hand, we're in the Son's hand, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the Word tells us that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Well, those of us that have worked with our hands know that most good ropes have three cords in them. Now, why? It evidently makes it stronger. But this is an allusion to Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We belong to them. No man could take Christ Jesus without him allowing it. When they came, if you remember when he was on the cross, the last thing he said was, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Now men have been known to live as long as 22 days on the cross before they literally passed out of this scene. Some 5 days buried with the individual. But no one has ever passed out of the scene in 6 hours, total of 6 hours. Every statement that the Lord made while there on the cross, it was a statement of power. He wasn't speaking as a weakling. Father, forgive them, for they know what they know not what they do. All of his statements were the statements of power. They were statements of a king. They were the statements of a conqueror. Satan thought he had our Lord destroyed. God is omniscient. He knows all things. Satan doesn't. Satan didn't know God's plans. He didn't know the plan for our salvation. He thought he was getting rid of him any number of times. Here he thinks he's got rid of him for sure. The Lord says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And what does the Roman centurion say that was standing at the foot of the cross? Now this is an officer of 100 men. He didn't get there overnight. He's seen many die, but he'd never seen anyone die like this one. He said, "Surely this is the son of a God." Remember, he's a pagan. But he knows this is not a normal man. He's not a man like you and I. I wish I'd brought the description of the Lord that I've had before. I've read it. And this senator that had seen him, he said, "Surely something phenomenal would take place with this man." This was before the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord. But he knew this was not a normal man. But he laid his life down. They didn't take it. They thought they were taking it. We read here in verse 54, "And Peter followed him afar off." Remember, all the rest had fled. It doesn't mention John, but John was in the family of the high priest. And we find in one of the other books, he was already there in the house of the high priest. It was he that went to the door and had the woman open the door for Peter. But he did followed afar off. But what had he done earlier? He said that he would die for the Lord. He would never deny him. You and I have the same problem. Self-assurance. We think we can do so many things in ourselves. Peter was a big, strong man. He was evidently the leader, as it were, amongst the disciples or the apostles. But he fell. He was so sure of his strength. "I will not deny thee." The Lord said, "You'll deny me 3 times. In another book, we find when the third denial was made, and the cock crowed, what was there? The Lord was looking at him. It's not mentioned in these other books, but one of the books, I can't remember which one offhand. The Lord was looking at him. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt? 3 times he denied his Lord, just as the Lord said he would. And he went out and he wept. We find Peter was a changed man as a result. He said he wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to do what the Lord was going through. The Lord told him he couldn't now. But eventually he would. And tradition says that Peter was crucified. And he asked that he would be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy of being crucified like his Lord. The Lord essentially told him that he would follow him, but not now. He couldn't do what the Lord did. The Lord did one thing. He died for you, and he died for me. The first 3 hours was at his creatures. He was at his creatures' hands. They were the ones that were doing it. The last 3 hours was God. The last 3 hours was the judgment for our sin. When the Lord cried, Eli, Lama, Sabbathani, or my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was speaking as the perfect man, not speaking as God. He was speaking as the Lamb of God. If you remember with Abraham and Isaac, when God told him he wanted him to offer up his son Isaac. The picture there is God the Father, Abraham, and God the Son, Isaac. In chapter 22 of Genesis it said, and they two went together, twice over. That's how important it was. In other words, it's a picture of God the Father and the Son from past eternity, wending their way to one place, Mount Moriah. That's where Isaac was offered. And if you remember, Abraham had the knife already raised to slay his son. Can you imagine that? When the angel stopped him. And he showed them that there was something behind him. A ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Horns speak of strength. The only one that could die for you and I was the Mighty One, the Mighty Son of God. He alone had the power to carry our sins on his shoulders. It was never put in him. Our sin is in us. Our sin is placed on him. But salvation is what? It's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith in it, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now I can tell you this, if some of us here, or all of us, could go out and say, went on your hands and knees on Route 95 to Washington, you'd go to heaven. You wouldn't be able to get on 95. The place would be packed. And what would it be? Something that they're doing. Something that they're doing. Some work. And do you think heaven would be heaven? It wouldn't. Everyone would be arguing that what he did was the most. And before it was over, you'd be fighting amongst yourselves. But the only one that's going to receive glory in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are part of his body. He's the head in heaven. We're the body here on earth. Our walk should be such that others see Christ in us. These people realized who Peter was, and he denied it. Look here. Over here it says in verse 66, and he not denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crowed. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little later, they that stood by said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth with this. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And you and I that know Christ as our Savior, we're no stronger than Peter was. If we're not walking close to the Lord, we'll fall just as easily. But remember, you're still a child of God. Stop and consider. The family is a picture of the heavenly family. Mother and father and the children. Now, if one of those children commits murder or whatever, does that child cease being part of that family? No. The child of God sins. He never ceases being part of the family of God. We're in the Father's hands, we're in the Son's hands, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But then some Christians will say, well, I can do as I please. Can you now? I wasn't thinking on going in this direction, but let us look over at Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Should be the sixth chapter, excuse me. I know it's in Hebrews. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Romans 6. All right, if it says he scourges them, what does that mean? He spanks them. We go to Job 5 and 17, or 17 and 5, and it says, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Because if he corrects us, then what's the indication? We belong to him. We're his child. If he doesn't correct us, we don't belong to him. If you can go out there and do as you please, and the Holy Spirit doesn't correct you even with your conscience, he can correct you all kinds of ways. You better look to yourself. You don't belong to the Lord. You're not in God's family. Ye are of your father, the devil. I've got a little note down here as to that third time. It's by Hamilton Smith. While watchfulness and prayer are ever needed, he only will be blameless and shameless and without offense who walks in the solemn conviction that he has to fear the outbreak of the foulest of sins unless his soul is occupied with Jesus. Now some will say, well, does that mean I have to be on my knees all the time? No, it doesn't. But it means we should be in an attitude of prayer, whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we say. Whatever we do, go, or say, it should be done to the glory of God, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst, and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? To begin with, it was nighttime. It was illegal for them to have a trial. The whole thing was a farce. But he, verse 61, held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Isaiah 53:7. Most of us should actually be able to quote the whole thing. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Now he could have denied. He could have said things that would have probably gotten him off free. But when it came to those things that gave glory to man or discredit to God, he held his peace. When it came to those things that would take him to Calvary, he spoke up. Let us look at 1 Peter 2. And verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The Lord left himself in the Father's hand. Whatever the Father's will was to be done. The high priest, we find that he tore his clothes or garments in verse 63. If we would look at Leviticus 21. In the 10th verse. And he who is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend or tear his clothes. But we find priests here of two different orders. We find the high priest was of the Aaronic order. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the Melchizedek order. There was neither beginning nor end. The Melchizedek came on the scene. There's no record of his birth, no record of his death. He was the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness. But he was a man. But it was a type or a picture of the Lord. And Daniel, the 7th verse, 7th chapter. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And our brother prayed this morning and mentioned that. The coming of our Lord isn't far away. We find in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who we should all be looking for. But too many of us want to finish painting this door or that house, or somebody else wants to finish studying for such and such a test. They're very insignificant when we go to be with the Lord. We should be only too happy to be with the Lord. But all we have to do is look at the things that are taking place on the world scene. Everything is centering in the Middle East. The prophecies have nothing to do with the church, other than as they're fulfilled, Christ has to come for the church before they're completely fulfilled. And we're very close to that point, if not there. All of us that know the Lord as our Savior should be looking at it as though the Lord was standing at the door. We should be that way all the time. Our lives, I dare say, would be a whole lot different. Our attitudes would be different. Our speech would be different. But when he comes the next time, he's coming into the air. He's not going to set foot on the earth. That's your rapture. Now, of course, the word isn't mentioned in Scripture. But it means the same thing, caught away, snatched up. It'll be so quick. If you ever had a roller coaster ride, it will be nothing compared to that ride. And we will be with the Lord forever. And all things point to those Christians, all of us Christians, we will be judged during that 7 years. Not as to our salvation, but as to what we have done or haven't done with our lives for the Lord. As to what crowns we will receive or won't receive. And those very crowns we'll cast at the Lord's feet. And I believe every child of God will have at least one crown. There should be some fruit, no matter how little. There should be some fruit. Our dear sister Mary Ragland says she's a fruit inspector. She doesn't see fruit. She doesn't think there's much there. And that's true. Luke 22. This is the verse I wanted earlier. Well, this started 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spoke, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." Can you imagine the heartbreak on Peter's part? The look of pity, love, everything that is good from the Lord. He still loved Peter. And he still used Peter. Much was done through Peter's life and even through his death. Of course, Rome claims he's the first pope. But there's no proof that he ever even got to Rome, let alone became the Pope. Let us look to the Lord. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the infinite love that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We were all lost at one time. There are but two types of people, the saved sinner and the lost sinner. Each individual here knows which of the two he is. What wonderful peace there is for those that know Christ as Savior. No matter what the turmoil is round about us, in our neighborhoods, in the city, in the county, the state, the United States, the world, we have a peace that the unsaved does not have. We have peace with God. We know that our sins have been taken care of. And we look to God as our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit is our guide and director. We think of those that may be lost amongst us, if there are any, that they would be made in a hurry to open their heart's door and let the Savior of sinners come in. They might know Him whom to know is life eternal. And we ask for all groups, no matter how large or how small, that are telling out the truth of the Word of God. We may not be eloquent, but we do not dodge the truth. We say it the way the Word of God says it, plain and simple. They might come to know our blessed Lord as Savior. You think of our dear sister Mary. Evidently, she's feeling a little better to get out. We're thankful for this. Think of any number of our dear folks that are laid aside with illness. And there are many of God's people in far worse conditions than we are. We hold them all up before the throne of grace. And may each of us, whatever our situation, may walk and live in such a way that others might see Christ in us. We would be very careful to give Him all grace, knowledge, and dominion, both now and forever. Amen.